Good morning, everybody. Friday morning. The weekend's about to begin, but it's Steve's thought for the day. As Ness and I look through these minor prophets in the Old Testament. And Ness today has got probably one of the legendary, most famous stories in the whole of the canon of Scripture. The story of Jonah. Ness.
Morning, it's Ness Andrews. It's Friday morning. And this morning we're looking at the book of Jonah. And oh my goodness, there is just so much to talk about in this book. There is only 4 chapters, but oh, I could just carry on talking about it forever. I was so excited this morning when we just look at some of the things, and I'm having a difficulty to condense it into 5 minutes, but let's have a go. So when we look at Jonah, then we know it's said that he's been eaten by a large fish. And many sceptics, including me, disbelieve that he was eaten, survived 3 days in a large fish stomach and then spewed up. But beyond the possibilities here of whether it be fiction, a parable or factual, there are a couple of thought-provoking concepts that would not be unrealistic to imagine. So was Jonah being swallowed up by a large fish metaphorical for Israel being swallowed up in exile? It's a good thought, isn't it? Or if he had died first, as the Bible passages suggest, and was then swallowed up and spewed out, then would it have been harder to get people to believe he had died and then been resurrected by God than was alive and had survived for 3 days? But I can't help that a large fish seems to distract us from the real story here and what we're trying to learn from it. And we know that in the story of Jonah that there are 8 miracles and signs and wonders that happen in just such a short book. And these are as follows. The first one is that God sends a wind that causes a storm and the ship is in danger. Then the second is when the sailors cast lots to find out who is the cause of the divine anger, and they identify Jonah, and God has controlled the outcome of an apparently random selection. Then when the sailors throw Jonah overboard, God calms the sea. Then God sends the great fish to swallow Jonah's body. Then God makes the great fish vomit the body onto dry land. Then God makes a vine, a castor plant, from which we get castor oil grow overnight. Then God sends a worm to eat the roots of the plant so that it dies. And then God finally sends a hot, scorching desert wind. So 8 miracles in one book. Wow. We don't see that many miracles happening, do we, in such a short space of time. And then there's the whole ineptness of Jonah and his inability to follow out God's orders and prophecy. But we haven't got time to talk about that now. So I want to talk about the city of Nineveh. I mean, this was a bloodthirsty city. There was bad stuff going on here. And the people were in desperate need to repent. And, you know, there was looking at chapter 3, verse 4 of the message, it says, Nineveh was a big city, very big. It took 3 days to walk across it. Jonah entered the city, went 1 day's walk and preached, in 40 days, Nineveh will be smashed. So can you just imagine the people receiving this news? There was no time for repentance. There was no altar call moment here. There was no, you know, hope that God's going to have mercy on you. This was quite to the point. But even despite that, you know, the people of Nineveh were so shocked that they did repent and they fasted, even from the king down. There was a great awakening at that time of that city. And, you know, through Jonah's prophecy, God then had mercy on the city and he saved the people. And I guess God really delights when people turn back to him. And we've not seen a great awakening where the nation have turned to the Lord for some time like the people of Nineveh. In fact, I was listening to TBN the other morning, Artie Kendall was on, and he was only just talking about before we can have revival, we have to have a great awakening. So where are we today? Is COVID-19 part of the birth pains and preparation of a great awakening? Are we hungry for a baptism of the Holy Spirit to renew us, to repent and receive God's mercy? Are we ready to surrender all as we prepare for God's return? Church, are we ready? When I look at a couple of passages in the New Testament, we've got Acts 2:17, where Paul says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." And it was the Old Testament. The other passage was Joel 2:28, which Steve spoke of earlier this week about, again, God will pour out his spirit on all people. And so I believe, along with many other prophets and preachers, that we're on the tip of an iceberg of a great awakening. But we have to be ready. Life Church has to be ready. I just want to end and share with you a picture that God gave me the other day in prayer. And it was a picture of us returning to church once we reopened the doors again. And as we crossed over that threshold, the people flooding into church were coming in and we were falling on our knees before the altar. There was no chairs in the hall. We were coming in and we were surrendering our all to God. We were there to receive a baptism of fire of the Holy Spirit and to be renewed and to just humbly give our all to him. In readiness for his return, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for your word and the teachings of Jonah. And Lord, that we ask that you will prepare our hearts and you will help us to become willing and ready to surrender, Lord, and prepare ourselves for your great awakening. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Carpe diem.